This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is 2 weeks today that Hurricane Ian slammed into southwest Florida. More than 120 people died in the storm and its aftermath. The economic damage is going to be upward close to probably $100 billion total economic and insured costs altogether. And recovering from it, of course, is going to take years. The team from our podcast, How We Survive, has been working on a whole new season about housing and climate change in South Florida. It officially launches next week, but climate change doesn't know or care about podcasting publishing schedules. So host Amy Scott went down to Fort Myers to talk to survivors picking up the pieces.
Thomas Eaton rode out the storm at his home in Northport, a small city on the Myakka River.
It was scary. I was watching the waves hit my bedroom window.
Eaton's neighborhood is miles from the coast and was not under an evacuation order. But when Ian came, it sat over Northport, dumping more than 20 inches of rain over 3 days. Eaton says floodwaters rose to about 4.5 feet inside his house.
The water was coming through the walls. I thought I was going to see Jesus, man. I just laid on my bed and watched out the window and just watched it all.
I met Eaton at a temporary shelter up the road from Northport at Venice High School. Inside the gym, about 100 air mattresses are spread out across the floor. An elderly man in American flag shorts rests on one of them as a woman gently washes his feet. The shelter is operated by the county school district. Jody Smith is a social worker with the district. Instead of counseling students, on this day, she's helping storm victims.
Right now, we're just focusing on keeping families safe and fed. If they need a shoulder, we're a shoulder. If they need a blanket, we get them a blanket.
Do you need spoons?
Oh, my God, Ben and Jerry.
Hey, sir, do you want a spoon?
An afternoon ice cream delivery brings a welcome distraction from the trauma.
And make sure it's chocolate.
When Ian hit, Passion Presley and her daughter, Ronisha Taylor, spent a terrifying night at home as the winds of more than 100 miles per hour pounded their windows.
Oh, we were praying. I
feel like Dorothy on the Wizard of Oz.
The adults took turns bracing the doors with their bodies while the kids sheltered in a closet.
Were they scared?
Yeah, they were scared. Yeah. They were scared.
The family of seven made it through the night, but then couldn't escape the floodwaters. For almost a week, they were stuck in their house without power or internet access, until finally a pair of airboats came to rescue them.
It looked like a swamp with houses and like on top of the water.
And they're still recovering bodies.
And then the road is completely closed, and we don't know when we'll be able to even check the house to make sure we don't have any damages inside.
So they wait. Presley says T-Mobile donated some phones so people could call family members and insurance companies. I met 72-year-old Nina Migliaccio standing outside the gym, holding a little black and white dog with a pink leash.
This is Candy, 6 years old, Chihuahua.
Migliaccio and her husband, Carl, had been in the shelter almost a week. The Red Cross had finally arrived that day, and Migliaccio was eager to get medical help. She was almost out of her medicine.
We need doctor attention. My husband disabled, and myself, I have leukemia.
Given all she'd been through, Migliaccio looks remarkably put together in a clean striped shirt and cargo pants with silver sandals. Turns out these are the clothes she evacuated in. She's been washing them in the shower, then wearing them in the sun to dry out. She wasn't sure when they'd be able to return home. Big chunks of the roof were missing, and she wasn't sure how much their insurance would cover.
We cannot go back. You must have a roof.
You must have a roof. Though she'd been able to rescue Candy, they'd had to leave behind their African gray parrot, Rocky.
I worry because, you know, over 1 week, he was without water.
So the next day, I drive to Northport to see if I can check on Rocky. The water has receded on Migliaccio's street, but evidence of the damage is everywhere.
Man, it's really something. You can see big pieces of the roof blown off. There's just debris strewn all through the yard. A blue, maybe propane tank, mangled pieces of roof and gutters.
I walk around back, past the small swimming pool filled with black water, and peek inside, where a large bird cage sits empty. I give Nina Migliaccio a call. She says the cage is empty because someone came by with the police to rescue Rocky.
This lady come from Sarasota and Beckham.
Well, that's good. I'm glad he's in good hands.
Yes, yes, yes.
Migliaccio says she and her fellow evacuees have been told they'll be moving from the high school to a recently closed hospital in Venice, where she's looking forward to having a private room. When I look around her neighborhood, it's clear it's going to be a while before she and Carl can come home. The rebuilding process has only just begun. We'll have that story tomorrow. In Northport, Florida, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Amy Scott has been working on season two of our climate change podcast, How We Survive, for about 6 months now. It's about housing and what a warming planet is going to do to low-lying South Florida. The first official episode drops next week, but after Hurricane Ian hit South Florida, Amy and her team got on a plane to talk to people trying to rebuild.
When we left Northport, Florida, in yesterday's story, I'd been checking on Nina Migliaccio's house and the fate of her parrot, Rocky. He'd been rescued, but the house was in bad shape. Migliaccio was still in the shelter. We talked on the phone as I described the damage.
There's still a lot of debris.
Lumber.
Yeah, lumber. It looks like maybe, did your neighbor have a carport that blew down?
She thinks it's the remains of a shed. A few doors down, a family is sifting through the wreckage of a little beige house with teal trim.
My entire back roof is gone. My lanai is gone. There's holes in my ceiling where water came in. My windows in the back are all gone.
Sasha Gretto lives in this home with her family and two dogs. She's hauling waterlogged furniture to the curb.
Every belonging we own is considered a loss.
Even though it's 15 miles from the coast, Gretto's neighborhood flooded when a deluge of rain caused the nearby Myakka River to overflow. One of the area's many canals runs just behind their house.
We literally were walking in waist-deep water, not knowing what was at our feet. We're covered in bruises and cuts, and that's for everybody here. It was awful.
She says homeowners insurance will cover some of the wind damage, but the family doesn't have flood insurance.
And a lot of people in this neighborhood do not, because this is not considered a flood zone. So these are blue-collar people working paycheck to paycheck. So we're going to pay our electric bill, not get flood insurance if it's not a requirement.
So Gretto is doing the cleanup herself with help from friends and family. A former neighbor drove down from Michigan to help, bringing a camper for them to sleep in at night.
I can say this. We're alive, so all of this can be replaced.
At another house around the corner, a pile of mattresses, sofas, and appliances sits on the driveway. On a giant piece of plywood, someone has scrawled in big black letters, "Do not take anything. Insurance coming."
My name's Pam Brownell. We have lived in Northport for 19 years.
The Brownells do have flood insurance by sheer luck.
A corner of our pool cage is in a required flood zone, and because it's attached, a structure attached to our home, we're required to have it. And while we complained about it, the extra cost every year, we're extremely grateful that we had it, and I would never go without it again, required or not.
Inside their house, there's a layer of stinky black muck on the floor and a water line 2 feet high on the wall. Pam, her husband Mike, and their teenage daughter rode out the storm in an interior hallway with their chihuahua, Finn. It was their daughter's 16th birthday. There was one harrowing moment when a bedroom window shattered. Mike struggled to hold the door to the room shut to keep the wind out.
The door was flexing. It wanted to come open. And then we ran through, I don't know, somewhere in here. And if had we not done that, we probably would have lost the roof of this house. I mean, it was just like a 900-pound man was trying to come through this door. It was just boom, 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 boom.
They huddled around a radio and tried to get updates on the storm from friends and family.
And they were telling us four more hours. And we're like, four more hours.
My daughter started to freak out at one point, and I said to her, I said, I know this is scary. I said, but I need you to focus, and I need you to keep yourself together. There'll be plenty of time for tears tomorrow, but today I need you in your right mind.
They got through it, and now the family plans to rebuild.
Our whole life is in this house. We can't necessarily go anywhere else.
Brownell knows sea level rise is making coastal living more risky. And if she were closer to the coast, she'd consider moving. But this far inland?
This was, you know, as they call it, the 100-year storm. So, historical flooding.
She just hopes history won't repeat itself. In Northport, Florida, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
How We Survive is the podcast. Amy's the host. Wednesday, October 19th is the date. Trailer is out now, platform of your choice.